Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our Big Brother 19 live feed update for September 2nd. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and today we're joining you from a place that is not Facebook. We're on YouTube. And I guess if you're not watching on YouTube, then this doesn't help you because you're not watching anyway. But we are on YouTube today using Google Hangouts. BeLive has been giving us some issues, so we're here. And you know who else is here? You know what day it is. It's Saturday. So Liana is here. How you doing, Liana?
Doing well. Although, are we sure that Paul okayed this move to Google Hangouts? Because Paul has to okay everything before, you know, we can do it.
I did actually. I checked in with Paul. I went to the Candy Crush Studios and he was actually still hanging out there on his break from Big Brother 19. And I was able to like ask him, hey, is it okay? People have been complaining about Facebook. I feel like it's not the best location for these updates. Maybe we should try out YouTube. And he was like, go for it, man. I was like, thank you, Paul. You're the best.
Oh, he's just so great. And that's what I assume. I assume he's at the Candy Crush Studios anytime he's not on screen on the live feed. So story checks out. Makes sense.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. So you can join the chat room on robhasawebsite.com if you want to chat with us. I just tweeted out the link to the page for this show. So just like any other Big Brother recap, you can join the chat there. Yes, they found us. And you can chat with us. So I apologize for anyone that enjoyed the Facebook ones. They've been giving us some trouble. I'm trying to figure it out. But for now, we're just going to be using YouTube. So let's get started. On this recap, we're going to be talking to you about everything that happened on the feeds. Yesterday, we had the nomination ceremony, but there was a lot of stuff that happened before that, too. Just mostly just like reiterating the plans for everything. So we started out, everybody's got their own plan for how they're going to respond to Christmas's nominations. Raven is going to act surprised, like, what? I don't know what's happening. Paul is going to be like, oh my God, she's going to backdoor me. And Josh is going to be like, no, don't worry. It's still Kevin. It's totally still Kevin. So they've each got their own plan here. And you'd think that none of these would work considering, like, Josh is Christmas's closest ally. Paul spends the entire day with Christmas. And, I guess it's believable that Raven plays Dom.
Well, yeah, that one is actually probably the most believable out of all of them. But yeah, I mean, it's pretty shocking at this point. I mean, I don't know what to expect. I guess I should expect some complete idiocy in the house because that's what we've seen for the majority of the season. So I don't understand how Alex and Jason are still going to end up buying this plan that Kevin, you know, there's some questioning, which we'll talk about later. But, you know, Kevin is the backdoor plan. Remember when Kevin was the backdoor plan last week and he wasn't the backdoor plan? I don't know if it's something with pattern recognition, like maybe instead of the psych exam that Big Brother gives out, because clearly that really doesn't seem to matter. Maybe they could give out like some sort of pattern recognition test, because that seems to be completely lost on the majority of the house guests this season.
Yeah, very much so. So they've got their plans all set out. Christmas and Josh discuss, all right, here's what we need to do. We need to try and pull in Alex as much as possible because we're taking Jason out this week. Josh, you just pretend that Alex has you in her back pocket. She's arrogant enough that she already thinks it without you even trying that hard. So shouldn't be too difficult. And I'm going to try and bond with her as much as possible as well. So, there's plenty. They really feel like Alex is an easy mark here. They can just reel her in.
Yeah. And they kind of bounce around this idea of, you know, Christmas saying, oh, I'm going to go after a strong male competitor, and because of Alex's ego, like somehow that's going to help to push Alex closer to Christmas, because Christmas is going to be able to reel in Alex. And even Paul later on talks about how, oh, I think we can still get Alex to throw the HOH. So they feel really confident about Alex not being upset regarding these noms.
Yeah, which, you know, it's pretty, you know, good guess, actually. So they also have the Tree of Temptation comes into play. It lights up, and right away they're all just like making fun of it. Like, yeah, this is dumb. We're not going to take this. Obviously, we're not going to take this. Nobody ends up taking it. The Tree of Temptation, it's over. One person took it, and it had the effect of making Paul safe when he already was.
What a really good twist. Oh, I just love it so much. I think really if they could put the tree on the block, then I think, or like the tree is the back door option, then maybe house guests could believe that, because they really, really don't like this tree.
Yeah, they're really making fun. I mean, you know, Paul, in very much in Paul style, he has villainized yeah, the Tree of Temptation, and now they're all bullying it because it's the new enemy.
Right. Like the tree sort of took over this place of like, okay, this is the like thing that we're going to socially ostracize now. Like the Tree of Temptation is the social pariah. And somehow Paul has managed to do that. It's like quite impressive. He can actually turn the house guests against inanimate objects.
There you go. Nina in the chat says, but a twist that doesn't get used is a great twist in my mind. I agree, because all the twists are so bad that when they're not used, it's actually a good thing. So then we have Alex. So up until this point, Alex has already, you know, offered herself to be up on the block next to Kevin. I will be a pawn next to Kevin. It's going to be great. Everyone's going to love it. But then she comes up with an even better idea. What if you don't even put Kevin on the block? What if you put two pawns up on the block, Christmas? And Paul is like, kind of like, are you serious? And Chris, like, this is like, again, Jason's plan last week, which was put two pawns on the block to backdoor Kevin, which was obviously fake. And so they were like, no way. Christmas's whole logic was, no way will they believe it. If I don't put Kevin on the block, they will obviously know what's up. It doesn't make any sense to backdoor Kevin. We might as well just put them both up and be straightforward. But yesterday we had Alex go to Christmas and suggest, you know what you should do? You should put up two pawns to backdoor Kevin. And it's like, why are you like, I thought that was too obvious, like, but you're suggesting it to me. Christmas didn't even know what to do. She was like, I don't know, maybe not. I don't even know what to say to
like,
that.
Like, is this supposed to be that kind of Johnny Mac reverse psychology that Alex is trying? But no, Alex is not that smart. It's fascinating. I mean, really, Christmas is the person who is trying to say, you know, okay, what is it that we can get away with? Because Christmas did say, maybe we should just put Jason and Alex up and just say, Jason, you're my target. You know, what is the point in us trying to sweep this under the rug? They're just going to end up being bitter and mad at us because we lied at them. We should just be straightforward and honest. But they end up deciding to kind of try and get away with this ruse, and it's working.
Yeah, it's really like Christmas was legitimate. It was like, I don't think I want to do that, but I mean, I guess if she's telling me to do that, maybe we should just go along with it. Like, I guess so. Okay.
Yeah, because that makes sense. There's only one person who's not playing veto this week, so yeah, the backdoor option makes a lot of sense.
Yes, and this is also when Christmas and Paul agree on Christmas's speech, where she's going to say, I am going to be targeting a strong male competitor. And the primary purpose of this, for Paul at least, is so that Paul can be like, oh, strong male competitor, she must mean me. I'm getting backdoored, guys. And that's his way of staying innocent of the plan.
Yes, despite Paul spending the entire day in the HOH room, he's going to decide to be shocked and completely incredulous that, oh my gosh, I could be the one being backdoored. Like, how dare it be me? And like, that's his way of getting away with it and still staying in the clear with Jalex.
Yeah, and this was terrible. This was terrible, Paul. As much as we can compliment Paul's gameplay at points, this was awful because he legitimately spent all day with Christmas mm-hmm. up until the nominations. And then he had the gall to later in the day say to Josh, me and Christmas have been separating. And Josh even said to him, no, you haven't. You were with her all day. What are you talking about? Like, that was not good. But of course, he's dealing with somebody he has so ridiculously completely snowed that it doesn't matter. But still, dude, you gotta chill on the spending all day with the person you're going to claim that you had no idea what they were going to do.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you have these plans. I mean, it sort of just reminds me of that fight with Victor, right? You know, they got away with it for what, maybe half a day, and then went back to being friends. It's like, no, if you're going to go through with this and you're going to try to make people believe it, you have to fully, like, take some method acting, like, completely embody this character that you're going to play. You have to isolate yourself from Christmas if you're going to be mad at her later.
Yes. So then we get the nomination ceremony and Christmas puts up Alex and Jason. She says she's going after a strong male competitor. Everything goes according to plan. And then, you know, the feeds come back and, you know, Alex is feeling completely comfortable. So comfortable, in fact, that she's laughing. Oh, can you believe Jason? He's acting so nervous right now. What an idiot he is that he's not comfortable being put up on the block next to his closest ally when he thought that somebody else was going to go up on the block.
I can't believe he would be so paranoid. Like, what's gotten into him? He's so bad at this game.
Jason is a little nervous here. He's like, what's happening right now? He's talking to Paul, who is again going through this plan. He's like, Paul is saying, oh my god, she's gonna backdoor me. She's strong male competitor. Can you believe this? And this is only freaking Jason out even more. He's like, wait, why are you saying this? If you think she's going to backdoor you, that I thought the plan was Kevin. Why are you worried? Should I be worried? Should I take myself off the block? And Paul's like, well, then I'll go up. And he's like, what? What's happening? I don't know. He turns into Matt for a second. Jason gets really, really antsy, and he goes and talks to Kevin, and this is what Kevin goes, yeah, dummy, they're putting you up on the block, they're gonna send you home. Yeah. You and Alex are the two best competitors in the house, you think they were gonna target me, obviously you're the target, dude, you're being had. And Jason's like, really though? Are you sure? It's like, yes.
I don't know why you can't put two and two together. It's just, oh my gosh, it's just so frustrating. So yeah, Kevin goes and does this, and it's a like right after nominations happen and feeds come back, it's this very like quick conversation. But Jason, you know, you kind of start to see the wheels turning. Like, Jason is starting to freak out. So he goes and he corners Josh in the storage room and starts asking, like, you know, Josh, like, what's happening? You know, and Josh, of course, tries to lie, like, oh, I don't know what's happening, I haven't talked to Christmas. Like, yeah, you've never talked to your ride or die. That totally makes sense. And of course, Paul is like really worried that Jason is starting to freak out. And so he's kind of following him around like a little puppy, making sure that Jason doesn't have, you know, any conversations with people that he shouldn't, or that other people, you know, kind of mess things up for Paul. But, you know, that doesn't last long. So it's fine.
Yeah. Well, Jason has this moment briefly where he sees right through it all. He tells Josh, I feel like Paul is telling me that he's worried about being backdoored because he was in on this, and the plan is to get me or Alex out. The problem is that he's telling Josh this, who is also in on the plan to get him or Alex out. And he also tells Kevin this, who's like, yeah, Paul is in on it. They all told me, like, this is the plan. Like, I cannot be more straightforward with you about this. But then Jason talks to Alex and Christmas, and Christmas, basically, she doesn't even, like, explicitly confirm anything. She's just like, yeah, you know, one person isn't playing in the veto, and I put you guys up, and that's just the way things are, and you know, there's no need to freak out or anything. And he's like, you know what, that does comfort me. I do feel comforted. I feel like, all right. And Alex is reassuring him, like, don't worry, it's Kevin. Josh reassured him, no, the plan is definitely Kevin. So Jason is feeling pretty comfortable. Meanwhile, Josh is telling Paul, dude, Jason just told me that you're in on this and that he thinks Alex is behind it too, because mm-hmm. that was part of it as well. Jason was that. I mean, again, Jason sees right through it, but in all the wrong ways. He thinks Alex is in on it, and he thinks Josh is the person to tell. So Josh is telling Paul, yeah, he thinks that you and Alex are setting him up and that you're lying about the thing. And Kevin told him that this is the plan, that he is being targeted. And Paul is like, Kevin, like a sitcom, like, whoa, why always Kevin? Very annoyed. So Paul goes and has a conversation with Jason to try and, you know, keep him comfortable, reassure him, like, no, I really do think I'm the backdoor target. And, you know, everything's on the level. You know, it's all good. And Jason's fine.
Well, so there are a couple of things. First of all, hopefully if this is a sitcom, it doesn't go into syndication because I really don't want to watch this anymore. But, you know, with Jason, like he did have that, oh my gosh, this moment of clarity where he did kind of put all of the pieces together. And then not only does he go and talk to Josh about it, who is in on this plan, but then he goes to talk to both Alex and Christmas at the same time. So your closest ally who hopefully is looking out for you, you know, your best interest, only second to themselves if they're actually playing correctly. And then Christmas, the person who would be the one who's going to target you. So why are these the two people that you've decided to talk to? And almost instantaneously, like he flips back into being comfortable with the situation. Of course, why was I being so paranoid? Of course, it's going to be Kevin. Kevin's going to be the one going home. I mean, I really think that Paul must have studied hypnosis over the off season because I don't know what it is. There's maybe some like word that he can just say like swordfish. And then all of a sudden they're Gumpy. Just like back in his grasp. Gumpy. Oh, it's Gumpy. Yes. Okay. Yeah. Maybe that's what it is. I think we've really cracked the case here. Anyway, it's just incredibly frustrating to see it all. And then of course this gets pinned on Kevin. Like now all of a sudden this is back to being Kevin's fault and the tree is no longer in play. So it can't be socially ostracized. So now we have to go back to Kevin being the pariah of the house.
Who knew back in, you know, the early weeks of the game when we were joking about how everything was Ramsey's fault and, oh, Kevin, he's always pinning everything on Ramsey's. Everything is Ramsey's fault. Who knew that Kevin would be in that exact same position later on in the game? I mean, it's dramatic irony, but it's also a bit old at this point.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, and they've just been isolating him. I mean, the other house guests have been isolating Kevin. It's actually been kind of sad at this point. You know, they were, Alex was saying, oh, we all need to go to bed at 10 p.m. so we can't make him food. Cause at this point, he's the only have not left. Although Matt was never really a have not. So I guess that doesn't count. But it's just, you know, it's kind of sad to see.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. And, you know, I mean, Paul has so much control over this house that he's then talking with Christmas and them about like, all right, so here's what we're going to do. Let's turn Alex against Jason. They're their closest, each other's closest allies. Well, let's just turn them against each other. Not only did Jason, there's this alleged incident where Jason was asked who the other vote was and he pointed to Alex on the memory wall, you know, therefore betraying Alex's trust. Mm-hmm. But then also now that he was questioning, like, is Alex in on a plan to come after me, to set me up? Then they're like, oh man, now we can use that too. We can totally get Alex to turn on Jason. And you'd think, like, again, in a normal season, you'd be like, don't try to turn two closest allies against each other. That's dumb. It's stupid. You're not.
There's no way that's going to work. Yeah, it's never going to work.
But then it's Alex. I feel like I say this every day now. It's Alex we're talking about, so it'll probably work. And by the end of this week, Alex will probably be like, yeah, go home, Jason. You're the worst. I hate you, meanie. I don't even know.
Yeah, I mean, I could absolutely see that happening, too. I don't quite understand how it happens, but it just seems like that's like something that I could see playing out. I mean, Jason has been snowed by Paul to believe that, you know, there's no way Christmas and Josh could be teaming up against us. So frankly, I wouldn't be surprised if Paul was somehow able to get in there and really separate Jason and Alex. You know, Paul has been responsible almost the entire season for like the distribution and dispensation of information. And people seem to consider him to be the authority. So if something comes from him, it has to be true. So if, you know, he goes to Alex and says bad stuff about Jason or goes to Jason and says bad stuff about Alex, I think that both of them would listen to him because he's played such a powerful role and has been so responsible for, you know, the quote truth in the house.
Yeah, Leslie in the chat says, can we talk about how Alex actually said to Jason, if we were really getting backdoored, why would we not know about it?
Okay, so I heard this happen and immediately, right? Like, oh, this is going to be a great rant moment. I'm going to go to Twitter. I couldn't even do it. It's just so bad. It was awful. Like, I really try to approach this season and all seasons with positivity. You know what? Even if this is bad and there's bad gameplay, there's got to be something fun to take away from this. Let's make fun of Matt or let's make fun of Alex or, you know, let's just appreciate how well Paul is playing. But that moment was just so incredibly frustrating for me. And I don't, I had no words. I really had no words for this.
Yeah. I mean, the moment for me too was, you know, we're in this situation now. Alex and Jason are on the block. Jason will be going home. And so our only hope for getting Alex out of this house is Jason wins the veto. He takes himself off the block. Alex is the backup target. And then Alex can be gone. Jason can maybe finally wake up and team up with Kevin. We'll have some kind of like token resistance. And Alex will, we don't have to talk about how dumb Alex is anymore. And then we get this lovely, lovely gem from Jason as he's talking to Paul. Yeah, I don't think I can use the veto on myself. I'd have to use it on Alex. I couldn't do otherwise.
He would just look so stupid if he used the veto on himself. What a stooge. Ugh, it would just be awful. Yeah, about Jason. That.
Jason.
Oh, he's such a tease. I hate it. Like, you have these brief moments of clarity and then you go and say stuff like this.
if he does this, it's so annoying. I'm so annoyed with Jason right now. If he wins the veto and doesn't use it on himself and then goes home, like, come on. Like, not only is that dumb and like, fine, it's dumb, but it means you're leaving Alex in the, you're doing it for Alex of all people, like the person worse than Natalie from season 11. Like, who, like, why of all people to use the veto on, to sacrifice your game for? Why Alex? Come on.
I think I now know what the pyramid foam is for in like your room. It's so when you bang your head against the wall, it at least you don't completely get brain damage or a concussion.
I'm just impaling myself on the spikes.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, it's brutal. And even, I mean, it's not just Alex and Jason. You know, Josh is somebody who I think we have maybe the greatest confidence, like might be able to, you know, is suspicious of Paul, might be able to turn on Paul. Paul said something to Josh along the lines of like, well, don't cross-reference information with somebody. And it's like, and then Josh, you know, kind of takes that to heart and doesn't immediately question it. And I'm like, this is a red flag. This is a big old red flag. And you should really think about this. You know, Paul is not to be trusted.
Yeah. Yeah. The second I saw that from Jason, I was just like literally the only intrigue we've had in any week is like the wrong person can win a competition. And then, oh man, the plan will have to slightly alter, as opposed to like just go through. But if Jason is just going to win the veto and then use it on Alex, then like there's literally the week is done already.
Yeah.
Man, Jason.
I mean, I would have to believe he said some earlier things about, I'm going to have to use it on myself. Jason is a person who, when you get in his ear the last moment, you know, then hopefully you can sway what he does. The problem is that there's only one person, Kevin, who is being socially ostracized, who is the person who could, you know, make sure that Jason does the right thing and uses the veto on himself. Jason also has talked about how he has rigor mortis. So maybe he'll just freeze when he gets up there and he'll forget to use the veto entirely. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm just really hoping that Jason comes to his senses and uses the veto on himself if he does end up winning.
Yeah, I think that the reason why he said this was because he thinks he's now comfortable with the idea that neither of them are targets. He doesn't think that using it on Alex will save her or condemn him. He mm-hmm. just thinks that why would I take myself off on the block if it doesn't matter which one of us comes off? If Kevin is just going to go home anyway, I want to be the gentleman and use it on Alex. Stick to my core values.
Yes, so. Being a team player. Oh, it's so key. Being a gentleman. Definitely don't want to be self-interested. No, it's fine.
Yes. And when he did think, oh man, this could be a plan to get rid of me, he was saying I would need to use it on myself. So hopefully if he did actually win it, he would think about it a little more. Maybe even Alex, being as dumb as she is, would be like, no, don't use it on me. Use it on yourself. It doesn't matter anyway. I want to sit next to Kevin when he goes home. I want to be the person that flushes him out of the game, just like Dustin was in Big Brother 8. So we could see that. But then, of course, Paul would probably get involved and be like, no, Alex, it's actually a good idea if he uses it on you. That would be a good thing. And then she'll be like, yeah, it is a good thing. And then Jason will be like, yeah, it is a good thing. And then Alex will go off the block and Jason will go home.
Oh, that sounds so wonderful. I really can't wait to watch that play out.
Yeah. Then also, of course, as I mentioned, Paul had the sitcom moment. Oh, Kevin. And so he has to go talk to Kevin and be like, dude, Stop talking. Why are you revealing all of our plans? What are you doing here, Kevin? You just need to stop talking. Don't talk to anyone. Just shut your mouth. Keep it closed. Staple it together. I don't care what it takes. Just don't talk to anyone. You're screwing my stuff up.
Yeah, well, I mean, Kevin, one, has been told to, yes, not talk to anybody. And I've seen some discussion after Kevin talked to Jason about how, you know, Kevin, why are you doing this? You know that you're possibly in danger. Why would you go to Jason and say, hey, man, they're targeting you? Well, Kevin cares about Jason, for one, and this would be his one shot to try and get somebody on his side and to actually realize and wake up with what's happening with the power dynamics in the house. So I think as far as Kevin goes, like, I just feel bad for him in this situation. Like, he's really trying, you know, to play with the cards that he's dealt. He also doesn't exactly have a full grasp on all the rules of the game. So, you know, him trying to understand what exactly the best move is moving forward is maybe something that's not, you know, quite there for him. But he's, you know, he's really trying. And like I said, I just feel bad for the guy.
Yeah. And I think our one saving grace in terms of Jason using the veto would be that you have to imagine Kevin is going to be all over Jason. Like, no, you have to use it on yourself, dude. They're going to vote you out. You have to understand that. And so, you know, hopefully Jason will feel just quite not comfortable enough to use it on Alex. So yeah, Paul is telling Kevin, just shut your mouth, just stop talking. And Kevin's like, what are you talking about? I didn't say anything. I didn't say anything to no one. Nobody talks to me. I don't understand. Just like very poorly denying the fact that he revealed all of this information to Jason. Kevin's been floundering here. He hasn't been doing too well.
Yeah. Well, and that's what's struggling to see is because he's the one who's actually trying to do something. It's just he doesn't quite have the tools or the understanding in order to do what's actually correct. That and everyone else is an idiot. So, you know, that's also not working in his favor because he's just, you know, he's really just trying to make Jason see. Like, Jason is his boy. Jason is somebody, boys, ugh, awful. Jason is just somebody who he's built a connection with, he would take those walks with, I think part of it is he just wants to help him out. Like, he's realizing that Jason is in trouble, even though Jason doesn't see it. And he's trying to convince him, look, Paul is not, you know, he's thinking in his best interest, not yours. And you need to wake up and recognize this.
Yeah. So, I mean, I feel like Kevin is starting to be like, it's starting to remind me a little bit of like Donnie toward the end of Big Brother 16, where it's like he's just like the older guy who is like he can sort of see through what's happening, but he also has this like one-on-one relationship with the guy running things, but that's kind of a fake relationship and he kind of knows it. And he's like trying to tell people, but they're not listening to him. It's very Donnie-esque.
It is. No, I mean, it very much is. And you're seeing somebody who's, you know, being isolated in a similar way, you know, that Donnie kind of was, in a similar way to, you know, like Johnny Mack was also really isolated on the feeds. You kind of see what this does to their psyche and how, you know, frustrating that must be, you know, especially going back to the Donnie analogy, like Donnie also maybe didn't have some of the greatest allies to work with. And so, you know, that's also Kevin, you know, has these people who would like Jason, who he's really trying to work with, and he's really trying to kind of have him wake up and see the light, and it's just not working.
Yeah. And it really is kind of sad to watch because like you look at Kevin from the first few weeks of the game and he's so like jokey and happy and smiley. And like, if you had a clip of like Kevin from week two to Kevin during this week, it's just like he has just been so beaten down. I'm pretty sure like the other day, it might have been yesterday, he was just like, man, that's the first time I've like smiled in a while, like, and laughed in a while, like had a good time in the house. It's kind of crazy. And it's very similar. It reminds me a lot to what happened with Donnie, where, I mean, you know, sweetheart Donnie, who just like just gets nowhere in the game. And again, kind of to, you know, the fault of himself and Kevin as well, just not doing super great. You can't help but be like, ah, man, just make some headway somewhere.
I know. And that's the thing is it's like, okay, Kevin, I know that you haven't been told to talk to anybody, but like, you've really got to try and like make these connections. You really have to work on that. But he's just being ignored by everyone in the house. I mean, last night we saw everybody up in the HOH room and Kevin sitting alone. And there's been essentially a camera on him, you know, even in group settings where you just see the expression on his face. And I just can't help but feel horrible. Like, instead of getting, you know, some type of GoFundMe for a banner plane, because I really don't think that's going to make a difference, can we like airdrop someone in to just give him a hug? Because that's really what he needs in this moment.
Yeah. I also saw somebody on Twitter. They compared this season to San Juan del Sur in Survivor because in San Juan del Sur, they actually didn't show this in the edit too much, but we heard after the fact that there was a lot of like just planning on, we're all just going to make it to the final three and we're going to like choose which of us gets to the final three and then we're going to vote and it's going to be great. Like a lot of just like planning out exactly what was going to happen with one person in Natalie who ends up sort of like subverting their plan to her own benefit. It's very much what's happening with Paul and everyone. I said on the Thursday night recap before the HOH competition, this is the order in which they're going to throw the HOH, and that's like, and then next week, this person is going to win and these people are going to be nominated. And then the week after that, this person is going to win and these people are going to be nominated. And it just happens every time because it's so planned out. And it really does remind me of San Juan del Sur. The difference being San Juan del Sur was a blood versus water season. There were family members and loved ones. And that's part like a large reason why they were able to be like, well, obviously, I'll just let my boyfriend or girlfriend be in the final three, or like my daughter, like I'll put her in the final three. This is like Christmas is like, no, I'll let this person that I met 70 days ago be in the final two.
Yeah, well, we did see Matt use the POV on someone not himself and not even a loved one at all. Jason, of all people.
The guy that takes him out of the game later.
Yeah, right. So I can definitely see that. I'm also getting some sort of like feelings of the coconut chop challenge. Like if this is the order that you're throwing it, like maybe there's something to that. Or, you know, like if you're not being... like if you're being told very specific things about like or not being involved in plans, then maybe there's something to that. And this could be the order in which you go out of the game.
Yeah. And I mean, again, like I don't mention it every time, but Alex just continues to be mean to Kevin. You can just assume every day that Alex is doing something mean to Kevin. She wanted to like prevent him from having anyone to eat with when the have not thing ended. Like, oh, let's all go to bed and then nobody can make Kevin any food and it'll be awesome. He'll be alone when he gets his food and he'll like be sad. Like, yeah, that sounds like a lovely thing to do.
Yeah, like, oh, you're gonna hide eggs? Like, really? Is this really necessary? It's just, ugh, it's really frustrating and really kind of sickening to see.
It's again, it's why Alex needs to go. It's why Jason needs to win the veto. He needs to use it on himself. Alex will go home. Everything will be lovely.
Fingers crossed.
All right. So that's our update for the day.
That was lovely. Yes. It's just so much positivity.
Let me know if you have any questions in the chat that we can address before we wrap this up. Or Leon, if you had anything else that you wanted to bring up. We will be back tomorrow at noon Eastern to update you on everything that happened on the feeds today. And of course, on Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, we'll have the LFC roundtable to talk through everything that's going on the feeds. Sunday night, we'll be recapping the episode after it airs. Lots of fun stuff there. Make sure you check out The Taran Show with Melissa Denny. Really, really fun one. And then, of course, I've got another one coming up on Tuesday with a new guest, very special guest. Keep on the lookout for that. Make sure you follow us on Twitter. I'm at Armstrong Taran. Leona is at Leona Boris. Yeah, I think that's it.
All right, sounds good.
Okay.
Good times.
So thank you everyone for joining us. Oh wait, no, there is one more thing. The Survivor 35 preseason has been kicked off. The cast has been released and we just started putting out the First One Out podcast. It's a new podcast that Josh Wigler recorded in Fiji, and I have been editing it. It's so much fun. It's like Serial meets Survivor preseason. We're on the hunt for the first boot. Who's the first one out of Survivor 35? And that is going to conclude after the first episode of Survivor. It's so much fun. Make sure you check it out. It's on the RHAP main feed. So lots and lots of fun stuff there. So thank you everyone for joining us. We will see you next time.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.